Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Okay, and we are back. Best friend, how does my voice sound?
Quack, 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 quack. That's how it sounds. We got podcast mics, mics, mics,
yes.
Mics. Yes. Pipe, 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 pipe. Remix.
I'm feeling myself with my little podcast mic. I feel like super established.
Listen, y'all, it's a different thing when you do your podcast on like your headphones, but when you get the mic and then the popper, you be like, hello. I'm going to get into ASMR, so stay tuned for my channel.
I've always been into ASMR. I'm so into ASMR, I still fall asleep to Bob Ross paintings on YouTube because Bob Ross was the first ASMR artist. He doesn't get enough credit for that.
He really was. I like the only the whispering. I can't do too much of the eating or like.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No. I like the talking only. I don't like the eating. That's yes. Annoying.
I'm not into the eating either. No.
No. I'm glad we agree on that. So how are you? Happy day after Valentine's Day.
I had a good Valentine's Day. Not even going to lie. Me and my husband kept it fun and spicy. We played like a little tequila game that, you know, opened us up. And then we have like these, we have a lot of little couples games for couples, some that just are for having sex, others that are for getting into good, deep conversation with your partner. And then we also even have like adult charades game. So we were just having fun. We were just taking shots of tequila, talking, just having a good time, listening to music and enjoying our Valentine's Day. How about you, bestie?
Well, that's beautiful. I was enjoying National Single Awareness Day, where you love on yourself and you do what's best for you. So I worked from home. Mm-hmm. I ordered pizza and wings and I went to sleep by like 9 o'clock. So I had a great Valentine's Day.
That's amazing. Yeah. One of my friends that I just met in Barbados, she's single too, but she got herself a cute little cake. Like a Valentine's Day cake and enjoyed it. I was like, that is yes, yes. Love up on yourself because Valentine's Day is just all about love. Like my sister was telling me how she goes and gets treats and snacks for her sons to bring to their teachers. And she likes one of their bus drivers, the school bus driver. So she gets, it's just an appreciation day. So make sure if you appreciate yourself, show yourself that you appreciate yourself on Valentine's Day because it's a day of love for everyone. Weekly grad, bestie. What you been getting into? What you been getting into, girl?
Okay, so first I want to talk about the new season of Basketball Wives.
I am.
I'm intrigued. I took a break and I came back and I actually liked the episode. First of all, I need for everybody to get off the We Hate Malaysia train. Like, that's my fellow Leo. She's just secretive. She's been through a divorce. She don't have time for the shenanigans, and they keep trying to find a reason not to like her, and they can't. As annoying as Jackie Christie is, she is the show.
Mm.
Like, as annoying and just troublesome and crazy Jackie is, she is the show. I feel so bad for Brooke knowing that I thought the show was going to be about her daughter unfortunately passing, but it starts with her husband cheating on her. So, like, my heart goes out to Brooke Bailey, like, condolences just for all the loss, and she's just such a strong woman. And I'm just interested to see, like, how it works, who they bring into. It was a good show. I just want to see how it unfolds because, like, right now it wasn't too much. Right. But I just want everybody to stop hating on Malaysia because she's queen and she's my Leo sis and y'all hating. What were you watching?
I mean, I will say in regards to Basketball Wives, I have tapped out. I'm not going to lie. It's gotten hard to keep up. I started last season and didn't finish it because it just, I don't know. I don't know if I'm like bored with them. The storylines, it's just not keeping me engaged across to finish from. I'll start at the season premiere, but I will not make it to that season finale. And that's happened in the last recent seasons. Some seasons I've even skipped. So I am hoping, because granted, I still like the show and like everyone on the show. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know, the season is good, like you're saying, and can kind of bring the fan base back in. Because I have felt like Basketball Wives has been on its slow decline out.
I kind of feel that. Like, honestly, like the first episode was good. I wanted to watch it to see what it's about. But do I care if I catch the second episode? So I kind of get what you're saying.
Right.
Like, it's something in it that's not keeping it from like, oh, I can't wait to see it next week.
I mean, it would be cool if they actually stuck to the premise of the show, like kind of in the early days. Like, remember when they brought Drea on? She wasn't nobody's basketball wife. She was the basketball side chick. And she helped turn it up. And there's still plenty of side chicks today are just like girlfriends. And they are out here. And I think it kind of got lost in itself where Shawnee is kind of still just bringing on her friends. And it's kind of just the same stuff, like versus like really stick to Basketball Wives, like bring in women that are dating professional athletes and kind of tie it into that. Cause that's always fun and juicy.
It's a blogger I follow. He definitely said that he was like, out of everybody on the show, only two are actually truly currently Basketball Wives.
Right. Yeah.
So I get it. Like I said, I enjoyed it. It was good. But I'm probably just going to watch it on replay. It's not one of those I got to sit in front of the TV and like watch it. I totally agree with you. What's first on your weekly grab?
So Mark and I, my husband, we've recently watched the movie The Menu on HBO Max. It stars Ralph Fiennes, who played Voldemort in Harry Potter. But Ralph Fiennes is also a very decorated actor. Check about him. And who else was in it? Recognizable. Oh, John Leguizamo. He was in the film. And I did recognize like one of the guys that was in like the tech company group. He's like a actor, but also like a comedian because he used to have this funny show on Comedy Central. But anyways, it's a really creepy movie. Ralph Fiennes plays a chef. You are invited out to this super exclusive meal dining experience with this renowned chef. So you have to go to this island, this private island where he has his restaurant. And of course, only the elite of the elite can get there because the ticket is pretty pricey. So you have all these people with money and different areas of their life. One is just this wealthy older couple who this is actually their 11th time having this experience in this dinner with the chef. Another is a group of tech people. You know, they have this tech company and they're in the techie world. Then there's this one guy, they're a young couple on a date. And he is a big fan of this chef, has been following his work. So he's paid all this money for the ticket. I believe it's like $1,500 a ticket per person. And he paid and brought this girl with him. And so as you go through this food experience, it just gets weirder and weirder as each course, but the way they modeled the movie, it's like you're having, you're at a restaurant. So it's like the first part they'll even say, like they'll say appetite, accompaniments. And then it's like, this is the appetizers that they're having. And then at one point it starts to get weird when the appetizer was rocks or no, it was bread. No, there was the first meal was rocks with like a little bit of salad around it. Then the second appetizer was bread, but there was no bread. It was just the dippings for the bread. And it was like this experience of like, do you really need the bread? It was just, it started getting weird. Then the one, it was called The Mess. I don't want to get too into it where I'm telling the movie, but that's where shit turned up. And like everyone gets freaked out, like what is going on? So now you're seeing like, okay, this chef is psycho. All of his workers, this whole staff here, they're all crazy and we're all going to die. And in the end, I'm not going to spoil it, but
please though, because now I kind of want to watch it.
You have to watch the movie, but the one who gets away, it's one of those of where the forgotten ones, the people looked over, the people stereotyped and stigmatized throughout life, they prevail. And all these rich, wealthy people, you know, so you got to watch it. The Menu on Netflix. It's actually a really, that would have been a perfect watch for like Valentine's Day, you know, like Netflix and chilling, but it's on HBO Max and it's a good one. And Ralph Fiennes is an amazing actor and respect his shh.
HBO Max and relax.
Here we go. Come on now. Yes.
You better quote HBO me in my Max. Bar.
Yes. HBO Max and relax. That's the new one. Yes. Because Netflix, you know, I feel like they all take turns, these streaming platforms. Because sometimes certain ones is popping and the other ones are just like very dry. Netflix is a little bit dry right now, but HBO Max got some good stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm very into like Q1 stuff in my tech marketing world. And some streaming services are increasing, but like a lot of people have lost subscribers. Netflix lost a lot in the beginning with the whole password thing. And Disney actually lost a lot of subscribers. But HBO Max is still where it's at.
Yeah, HBO Max is doing its thing. So, yeah, check out The Menu on HBO Max. Mic drop.
Period. So next on my weekly grab is, of course, Documentary City. I watch a documentary on Peacock called Sex, Lives, and the College Cult. Mm. People are crazy, y'all. Like, people really are bugged out. It's basically a girl in college who worships her manipulative dad. He goes away to jail for some like Wall Street stuff, and she goes away to college. He gets out of jail. He convinces the daughter that the mom has been lying and he's it. He goes to this girl's college, moves into her dorm with her, and starts to brainwash four of her friends into a cult. They quit classes. They give him all his money. He's making them their sex, his sex slave, his financial slave, and the daughter's kind of like in on it. He then extends it to two of the people's like sisters. And for at least 3 or 4 years, he's mentally, emotionally, and physically abusing and manipulating these young college students. They don't do anything without him. They don't go anywhere without him. He uses them for free labor at houses he owns in like upstate New Jersey. It's insane. And then he films everything because he's a narcissist. So when the cops came to him, and I think what happened was one of the girls, he turns into a trick, and she finally started telling one of her clients, like, look, old guy's not okay. The trick tells, he's fills his friend's house to keep the people in, and the friend has to like sue him for eviction, and it's just crazy. I don't want to give too much away, but it's literally a grown ass man that goes to a college. I'm just thinking about like our parents. Like, imagine our moms or dads like just coming to our school and just living there.
That's so weird. That's
and then they start having sex with our friends. And then they start telling our friends what to do. They're beating them. He's hitting them on their, like, he's pinching out their lips with screwdriver. Like,
is he still married the whole time he's doing this?
No, the wife left him before he went to jail the first time. He only was married once and had one child. But he's just a manipulator.
And this one child, he ended up squatting on college with his one child.
Right. I personally am not a fan that the daughter has no charges against her, because he is in jail. He will be in jail probably forever. But she kind of like tells her friends, like, oh, my dad's the best. Like, he's the best. He's everything. And they believe it. And then, of course, he starts asking them questions. He starts becoming that cool parent that you can talk to, that'll let you drink, that'll give you advice. But he uses this as a tactic, like a cult leader, to emotionally and mentally abuse them. And I think it took about 4 years for everyone to leave, but he just has these 4 to 6 young kids like doing everything he said. He's beating them up on camera. They're trying to kill themselves, and he's like fighting them and telling them. It was just, you'd think that things like this would not happen, but it's just sad that it happens. And I'm praying for those people who went through this, because that's a lot of therapy and a lot of healing. But he really had he had a cult on a college campus.
That's a whole hot mess. I wonder if he was able to make a cult for himself in prison. Because then that shows that he had like a special manipulative skill.
Yeah, I think so.
Particularly target certain groups.
You learn from like his past that he was good at the gift of gab when he went to jail the first time for like some mob ties and like fraud and stuff like that. He was really good at telling you what you wanted to hear and making you build that trust. So and he knew the people that he could manipulate. But like, my heart hurt for this young girl who was convinced, like, I have to be an escort. and like selling her body for years, for like at least a year or two, and giving all of this money to him. And then the families are reaching out to them and they're like, no, like, we don't want to speak to you. So it's like, it's sad. It's interesting. It's weird. It's insane. It's weird. Like, why do you just want to control little kid? It's weird. And he deserves whatever is coming to him behind those bars. Like, he deserves it all. So y'all watch that documentary and tell your cousins, if you know people locked up, to find out about him, because
we can
he deserves it.
On Tanea to tell us about a weird documentary. Always.
I love documentaries.
She really does. She really does. She has me beat. I like documentaries too. I'm going to get into one that I just kind of touched on, because my next on my weekly grab is You, season 4. It's season 4, right?
I believe it's yes. I do know that.
Yes, because this show has been moving along. And honestly, I'm impressed with how they are able to continue this, you know, to the story of this stalker who every season he has a new woman that he is stalking and tying it to the previous woman that he stalked and probably murdered. So now Joe is in London. His name is no longer Joe. He has a new identity now as John. In some kind of way, this serial killer ass mother was able to become a college professor. So he is now a college professor in London, living the London life. But already, just from episode 1, he gets caught in a doozy. And based on who ends up dead, you know, he automatically assumes it's himself because it happens off of a night of he's been drinking. He might have been even drugged. So he wakes up with like kind of no real recollection of if he killed this person or not. And then it kind of turns into a whodunit because he starts receiving text messages from someone who might have probably killed that person themselves and is trying to frame him. So it just adds a little mystery to it. And if you're and that's what makes this show good season after season. I believe that's how they've been able to carry it on, because it is kind of the same plot line with him being a stalker and a serial killer. But it's just kind of the way that they can kind of incorporate still stories of love and friendship and betrayal and backstabbing around this crazed killer. One of the main things I've always said about this show from day one, because it's like, how is this man able to get away with this stuff? You know, season after season, he goes undetected pretty much. And, you know, so it does tie that line of like, okay, is it because he kind of has this middle class suburban look? Is it because he's white? Is it because he does have this non-threatening look, you know, initially. So it's kind of like, maybe this is how. But as he was promoting this new season of the show, he was asked about his thoughts on Netflix and kind of in a way romanticizing serial killers.
Right.
And he admitted it himself, where he did kind of even say something about Netflix with, you know, because between You, the show You, what's that one? It wasn't, well, they've done
some. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer, the series. They've done stuff on Ted Bundy as well. Remember, they even did the
documentary. I did like Ted Bundy, yeah.
They did the documentary on Ted Bundy and the movie with Zac Efron. The documentary I recently watched was about, I don't know, that hitchhiker, if you can remember from.
Oh, yes. So the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker. I did watch that as well.
I watched that one. And just kind of in all of these different productions, whether it was a show, a documentary, a movie, there is kind of this underlying theme of where you kind of feel sorry for this murderer. And I, at the same time, there are plenty, you know, murderers are very inclusive. You know, the type of murderers, there's all kinds of murderers. But there is just a single similar theme when it comes to the murderers on Netflix that they kind of make us feel these little sympathy, fanship for. So I found that very interesting. However, I'm still very much into season 4 of You on Netflix. So definitely check it out. Tanea, I know you said you haven't watched the show yet, but you need to, girl.
I definitely, like, she's been telling me about this show so long. And so that's on my, like, at home, nothing to do. There's like a list of things and I want you guys to hold me accountable and us.
Wait, my other thing too, is what is with people leaving their curtains just wide open just to let someone just look into your life? And I'll say, okay, I have a neighbor where I live, little white girl. I don't know her, but I know when she gets home. I know when she's in her room. I know when she's just dandling around her house, because this girl have her shades wide open. And it's just like, girl, do you watch You on Netflix, child? What man?
The way my anxiety comes in about me, my curtains, and like the way I'm like outside of my apartment, like looking to make sure you can't see inside.
Right.
I don't get that at all. I do like the Netflix documentaries about serial killers. I personally like it because it teaches me how to find red flags. As a single woman, I like a lot of true crime, and my biggest, most irrational fear is that the love of my life will try to kill me. So I like to watch these things to like look out. Like if somebody's doing too much, I need to know the signs. So right. I do think that, you know, I think that they're doing it because it sells, like it gets some views.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
But I do think that also that we don't need to romanticize it and like put it out there and make it a thing for everybody to want.
Yeah, because in a way it's like you kind of start to feel a fan, like you're a fan of this person in a way. And it's like, how did this happen? This person is a murderer. Like what?
So yeah. I will say I am a fan of Pim Bagley on TikTok because he is hilarious. Yes. Oh my gosh. He's so, I don't know about you, but I do love him on TikTok. So I promise I'm going to cut. Yes. There's a list of shows I have to watch, you guys.
Well, what else do you have on your weekly grab?
My last one is going to be something that people probably don't think I would watch, but I actually love it. And it's Sister Wives.
Okay, please tell me about the show, because you know I'm a reality TV writer for one outlet, and they kind of want us to scale back on writing about all these different shows and only focus on the shows that bring in our most eyes. And Sister Wives is one of these damn shows. And I do not watch this show.
I think if you love a housewife, you would love Sister Wives. So basically, okay, it's about this guy, Cody Brown, who is just such a narcissist and so full of himself. Mm-hmm. And he has three wives, but only one is his actual wife. The other two are his spiritual wife. So they grow up more. I mean, he grew up Mormon. Wife number one is Janelle. And then, it's Mary. Mary is the actual wife. Then wife number two is Janelle. I might be messing this up, guys. Don't kill me. Wife number three is Christine. And wife number four is Robin. I'm only sure about three and four. So he basically gives these wives one by one by one by one. Once he gets the wives, his attitude changes every new wife. So basically now, three of the wives have basically left him. So after he got the last wife, Robin, she was the youngest. She was the most annoying. She was the most controlling and nobody was with it. So now you see wife number three, who's my personal favorite, Christine. She got her a boyfriend. She is out here living her life. And then all the other wives try to blame her for it not working out. Like, you left and now our house is broken. She's like, no, I want love. Like, he basically turned into a crazy COVID guy where he could go and do whatever he want, but his kids and his wives couldn't. He wasn't there for his kids during certain surgeries. And like he really doesn't show any wives love but the last youngest one, Robin. Robin is, oh my gosh, she's like the girl on Love After Lockup. Like when I say you breathe and she cries, like my family. And it's like, no girl, this is your fault. It's like they wanted it to just be kind of Robin and Cody. And now that it is, they're mad that everybody's messing up this home. But Christine moved out, Mary left, and I think Janelle is focusing on herself. So basically it's Sister Wives with one wife. So it is just drama that I love because they're in the middle of nowhere fighting about it. But I'm also just rooting for Christine because the way they tried to make, because she was the third wife, like the third to last. So they tried to make her the villain. And now that she's gone, everybody's saying it's Robin, which is the youngest wife. So I'm just into it because I feel like now that he has one wife, he's not even going to want Robin. He's going to ask for two, three more. So I just can't wait for the tea because it's kind of like if Potomac, like, or just housewives in general meets like Wife Swap.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, it sounds interesting as I hear some parallels between this Cody Brown and the guy you were just talking about with the college cult, that emotional manipulation. Cause I just do think, I mean, of course, I understand if they did grow up as Mormon, but I also do think it also takes a certain type of person to kind of agree to this lifestyle, especially where one person kind of has all the power.
He inherited it. Like, he saw it younger. Like, he didn't grow up Mormon and like in a polygamous family, but he kind of saw it and was like, maybe I want to do that. So it's interesting to see how, like, I think in the, it's been on for seasons. So the first couple of seasons, it works, but you can always see that everyone dislikes Robin. And I think COVID, you know, COVID did this for a lot of couples. Like, y'all either got closer or y'all hated each other. And I think all of the wives were like, we don't need this bullshit. So everyone basically left him but Robin. Like, but one is actually have a boyfriend. She posted him yesterday on Valentine's Day. Christine was in like People magazine. She's like, I'm so happy without him. And I feel like the other two are like right behind her. And Robin's going to be mad because she's going to be replaced. So I think if you just watch like the last season, even the reunion, you'll learn a lot about sister wives.
Yeah, I'll probably like- just catch the reunions and maybe try to just keep it there. I told them that the show I would start watching again is Married at First Sight, because I've watched that show before. I just kind of would fall out of it, but I'll start watching it again so I could cover that as one of the primary shows, because the shows that bring the most traffic is Married at First Sight, Sister Wives, 90 Day Fiancé. And probably like one more, but 90 Day Fiancé is just too much, and it just doesn't stop.
It is way too much.
Yeah, it's too much. It doesn't stop. So I've given up on 90 Day Fiancé. Sister Wives, I really don't know. It's just, I don't know. I think I have to always kind of pick. And like you said, if I like Housewives, I like Sister Wives. But I do like Housewives. I watch all the Housewives. I watch so many shows, and so I do kind of try to reel it in when it comes to my reality-based shows. So I don't know if I want to watch Sister Wives, but I will check out these reunions and see, because maybe it might pull me in. I'm open to
it. Yeah, we'll just watch the end. And what's the last one your weekly grab, girl?
Well, I actually have a few. Okay. Oh. So one is on Peacock. It's called Love for All Ages. I meant to talk about this show like last week, because I finished this show like last, you know, before our last episode. But actually, I was just reminded of it because they posted the reunion. So it popped back up on our Apple TV, and Mark and I watched this show. So the show is about married couples kind of giving each other a hall pass in order to, you know, kind of see are they still for each other, or do they kind of need some time apart, or, you know, just kind of go their separate ways. So it's three married couples go on this show, agreeing to meet with younger singles, by the way. So it's these young singles coming in, trying to compete for each of these married couple, a person within the married couples. The guy singles are with the three married women, the three wives, and the young woman singles are with the three husbands. It produces a lot of interesting dynamics. You do see that, ironically, the women are the ones more willing and ready to cheat in these circumstances, not the husbands. And like, really, when these couples are tested, you can kind of see like their strengths and their weaknesses as partners, as individuals. Such a good show. Adrienne Bolone is the host.
I was just about to say, is that the one that she hosts? Because I've seen Okay.
I really hope they get another season, because this first season was so good. Even that's why I think they did the reunion, because you see there's a big gap in between that last episode and when they did the reunion. So I'm wondering if they did a reunion because they saw that there was good feedback to the show. So I like it. Y'all know I'm a newlywed. So it definitely even brings up these conversations with Mark and I, like, oh, will we try this? Or, you know, like, cause you're just even able to kind of see certain weaknesses in a relationship. So it's very good. This one, Tanea, you need to watch. It's on Hulu. I believe it's called Planet Sex or Sex Planet, with Cara Delevingne, the supermodel.
Yes, I love her.
Okay, so she is exploring her sexuality because she doesn't really know. She's never really, she says she's definitely the Q, but she doesn't, you know, like, she's like, she, it's still very hard for her to identify her sexuality. She does primarily date women. Like, those are the ones that she, Planet Sex with Cara Delevingne. Yeah, she does primarily date women. Those are who she actually develops feelings for, but she can be with a guy, but she primarily only kind of just sleeps with them, just kind of hooks up with them. She has more of an affinity for women. But at the same time, with her growing up as a supermodel, you know, she's also British, you know, in the UK, they have different kind of standards on just how you're supposed to be and carry yourself. So she's kind of grown up with this, just kind of this self, a little bit of self-hatred, and kind of, so it's still there. You can kind of see where she still struggles with just embracing her queerness. So she's putting herself in different scenarios and environments to kind of identify her sexuality, but also just talk to other people and about how they identify their sexuality and what it means. And so it kind of just opens up these conversations of just all these titles, because there's so many. At even one point in the show, they scroll the titles of all these different gender sexual identities across the screen. And I'm like, some of these I never even heard of. Romeo Sapiens, Romanticized Sapien. I'm like, I don't know. But it's such a good show. There's one where she goes to this big lesbian festival in Palm Springs and has the time of her life. They're doing twerk contests. They're just having so much fun. And Mark is like, why haven't you ever gone to this with Tadea? I was like, oh my gosh.
Hello,
like,
why haven't we gone? Because I love right. Palm Springs.
I don't know why you haven't gone to this
party. Like, is it called, wait, I think I have gone. It's called, not Sweet Heat. I think I've gone. It's a lesbian thing. Yeah. It's a lesbian pride in Palm Springs. I've gone.
Yeah.
I've gone. It's not called Sweet Heat. It's called, I did go. I went when I and first.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I did go. I went when it first opened in Cali. I'm going to find it. What is it called? I did go, not Palm Springs Pride. Shoot.
But it was only lesbians.
Yes, I know exactly what it's called. I did go, not hedonism. I did go. I went in like 2015. That's why I can't remember it. But right. When I first moved to Cali, I remember my roommate at the time, we did go. And but it wasn't for us. It was a lot of whiter women. But this documentary sounds very interesting.
Oh, you have to watch this. It's like a docuseries. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to last, but they at least got this first season. And I really, really like it. Like, even Mark is watching it, and it's talking about everybody gets love on this show. So definitely watch that. And then last on my weekly grab is just Love is Blind, After the Altar, just added on Netflix. Did you watch
Dinah Shore? It's called, yeah, Dinah Shore Weekend. I did go in 2015.
Yeah. That, yes. Oh, you're so silly. Yes. But yeah, did you watch season 3 of Love is Blind?
Okay, so I gave up after the second episode when the couples were together and like the honeymoon, because it just seemed so fake. Right. I could tell none of them were going to last, and I just was not into it. After the whole Bartice and Raven and being into her and acting like, I just felt like after season 1, every couple was trying to live up to the Lauren and the Cameron and the Amber and the Barnett, mm-hmm. and they weren't going on there for love. They were going on there for fame. And I remember when Lauren wrote a tweet, was one thing I was not going to do was sell my soul for TV. So I think this is why those couples are still together, because they were the blueprint. So I was turned off, especially like Raven acting like she liked it. Old guy. I just was turned off. So no,
she really did. So actually there's a lot of twists in the season, and granted, I'm still one of those that I'm still becoming very skeptical of this marriage experiment. But yeah, at the same time, you're seeing how it, at least, it's not so much that these people could be ready for marriage or it's helping people find love in marriage, but it could be helping some people at least find a connection. Because what you see with Raven and SK, they end up not technically getting married, but they embark on a relationship. And so what happened at the season finale of season 3 is SK turned Raven down at the altar because he just wasn't confident in the relationship. And there were certain signs where I could kind of understand why he might have felt that way. Right. But so now in this After the Altar session, they are actually still a couple. They started out still as a couple, kind of even doing the long distance thing, because he goes to school in California. Raven is still in Dallas. And you could see that she was really into him. And then at the end, because now we know, you know, they broke up because he got caught cheating. Mm. So they just kind of did a little update with Raven, asking her, you know, how she feels about. So it's like, I don't necessarily think Raven went into that really and even let it go that far. And she wasn't really into SK. What you do see over time throughout season 3 is that she actually did acquire genuine feelings for him. And Raven is actually a way more of a sincere person than Bartice, who is really just a gaslighter. He's still bothered. In the After the Altar, Nancy is still simping for Bartice. It's very annoying. She does eventually start to choose herself, where it's just like, girl, like, you, this guy is not into you, never was. Can you please? Your whole family is telling you to stop even being friends with him because he's playing games with you. So you're kind of seeing her find her voice to say, look, we can't be friends. Cause it's like, what is this? What is this going on? Cause he's kind of just, he's using her, right? Like, it's like, especially when they're in these group settings with the Love is Blind cast, it's like, he'll give her little touches and things where it's kind of like, oh, there's something there. But in all actuality, he's not feeling you like that. He's not trying to take this any further. So it's like, stop trying to be like, oh, we're friends. We're not friends. I have feelings for you. I'm really into you. And if you're not, let's just like leave it alone, because this fake friend thing is only just hurting me in the long run. So that's what we're seeing with Nancy and Bartice.
He looks like an asshole.
Yeah. And I'm tired of him with his little dangly ass earring, his little unbuttoned shirts. Like, get up out of here. Your style is trash. You really came on here filling yourself with this little mole on your nose. And you are not it, homie. Like, honestly, the cutest one to me is Cole. Justice for Cole.
I agree.
I am not liking how he is becoming a punching bag for certain people. You're seeing him. Zainab still comes on with her Zainab-ass attitude. Still very just standing in all of those false allegations she made at him at the altar in the season finale. She's standing on that. But then you're also seeing Brennan with his little simp ass coming and kind of attacking Cole. Only because of his wife, Alexa. Alexa has become best friends with Zainab. So now it's like, Alexa's probably, now, if you don't remember Alexa, Alexa is the fake Kardashian. Her and her family think they are the kind of Kardashians. They are just real lavish. And Brennan came from a more kind of wholesome background. But now they're married, you know, so you're kind of seeing Brennan then switched up. Okay, wow. So Brennan, then he started feeling himself now. He's married into this family of this is how they act. They really act like, yeah, like, you know, we come from money. We're designer. We like to shop. We're Israeli. We're the shit. La, da, 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 da. So it's like Brennan now kind of comes at Cole, and Cole is not confrontational. And I'm so tired of him. Like, it's like, even as Brennan is like telling him about, like, just saying things, it's like, what are you attacking him for? I really don't even get your gripes with him. But Cole is just like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, thank you for the talk. Like, I really appreciate it. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. It's like breaking my heart watching Cole constantly kind of be, even at points, it's like Bartice kind of starts talking to Cole strongly, like, yo, bro, come over here. Come over here. Let me talk to you for a second. I'm like, I'm just not liking how they're just like kind of beating up on Cole. Cole is so cute. He looks like Paul Rudd. I need him to find love. He's very well deserving of it. He doesn't need to be. He actually is admitting that he thought him and Zainab was going to have something after she dumped him at the altar, horribly dumped him at the altar. So I'm looking for Cole. Justice for Cole. Okay.
Just throw the whole show away. I honestly just don't think we need another seat. I heard or read an article that they're going to do an ultimatum with gay couples. Can we just stop? Can we just stop with these shows?
I would like to see gay couples.
I would like to see gay couples, but not on the ultimatum. Maybe on Love is Blind. But I'm just tired of these like shows that are trying to patronize like finding true love and these people acting like they give a crap on, like, I think after you do something once, it's not going to be successful again. So after it does it works once, I feel like after the first season of Love is Blind, I was not surprised that none of the Love is Blind season two people are together. And I don't think any of the Love is Blind season three people are going to last, because you want to be something that you are not. So I just throw the whole thing away, please.
Throw it away. And with that, we will get into our hot topics.
Because it's hot this week.
Right. Okay, so we're going to talk about Rihanna's halftime performance. I mean, we could talk about the Super Bowl, but we all only watched for Rihanna.
It got 5 million more views.
She got nearly 6 million more viewers than the actual Super Bowl. And as of right now, she is the most watched halftime show of all time in Super Bowl history. So hats off to Riri. Okay. Now, granted, going into this performance, I was actually very excited to see Rihanna perform. I enjoyed the performance. I was not expecting a Beyonce performance. You know what I'm talking about? I was expecting a Rihanna performance. So I really just kind of wanted her to go through this, like her hit songs, and at least give us some choreography. And she did. So I was very impressed. She actually did more than I expected. And then us finding out that homegirl was pregnant with baby two. it's just like, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and bash her like, oh, she gave us nothing. She always gives us nothing. Because there's just been a lot of that on social media. But I thought she did a great job. I was expecting a guest appearance. But Rihanna always kind of is innovative in ways and does things how she wants to do it. And so she just kind of broke that tradition of having special guest appearances in her halftime show.
I think she killed it. And I have 2 points. The first point is someone, I think it was Remy Ma. She said that the way that the media put together Black women and nobody else is crazy. You never hear people compare Prince and Michael Jackson's Super Bowl performance ever. Mm-hmm. You never, ever, ever hear anybody compare Prince and Michael Jackson's Super Bowl performance. You never hear anybody talk about Aerosmith versus Maroon 5 ever. I don't understand people's obsession with thinking that just because they are two Black successful women that they're going to give the same thing. Rihanna has never been a Beyonce, to your point, best friend. She never will be, but that's why I love her. I just was excited to see her enjoy music again. She has some hits the whole time. I'm singing along. I'm personally happy. She did not do that damn ass lift me up because I was scared she was going to try to lift us up and I was going to have to put it down, but she didn't. She kept it cute. She knew what she was doing. So I don't understand why people were comparing it. But another thing is she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. She was pregnant flying in the air. I'm sorry, but I'm not letting my baby mama or my wife be in the air.
I would have skipped the air levitation.
Hello. If I was ASAP, I would have been like, no. Not my baby.
But she made sure she stayed right in the middle of that platform. She was not moving.
Hello. First of all, the artistic expression of to do red and have everybody in white, just the way her dancers was like, no, you don't, like, you good, you pregnant, I got you. Because I feel like even if she wasn't pregnant, it would have been just as good of a performance. But to me, everybody doesn't need to kick Sean Jay. Like, that's not what I need. I need somebody to entice me from point A to point
B. And yet she's Rihanna. So it's like, I don't understand how people continue to put these expectations on her performance-wise when it's like, when has she ever giving you that high energy performance? She never has that. It's not her style. It's not her aesthetic, but she was going to bring that fashion. She's going to bring the fierceness. And at the end of the day, she got hits. She did a whole 15-minute set list with no one else, just her hits, straight hits, and left some out. So,
but I really didn't think, maybe it's just me, like, I didn't think that she wasn't like high perform, like, I think she dances. She always did. I saw her in concert when I lived in Arizona, and it's the same thing. She's going to give you a little, and even with her VMA Vanguard Award, she's not going to give you a Beyonce 30 minutes. She's going to give you a cute bump, but she knows when to hit it. And when she hit it, that little butt thing she did with her hand, like the little high from the back, I just loved it. I loved it. I'm here for it. It was everything. It was not too long. She did an interview where she said she will bring a special guest. It was the baby. Now we know that what it was. But then, you know, my only thing is, I wish Drake wasn't such a Drake, because I would love them to see them perform work like alive once, but I know it'll never happen again. I would have loved to see him. I love that Jay-Z was in the audience, but he was like, let me give her time, let me let her shine. Only thing she had was a band. People are saying she lip sung. I don't think she lip sung. What do you think?
I think she did, but
you think so?
Yeah, but those are still her vocals.
Yeah.
Those are still her vocals. She still had to pre-record those damn vocals. So
that is true.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to hate on Rihanna. I am not going to hate on a beautiful Black woman that puts on for our community and at the same time still gave us a performance. Like, there's different kinds of performers. I hate to say it, but I am bored when it's not someone that's to that caliber. Like, when they bring in the rock bands, I'm sorry, it's not my thing. So I get bored. So I prefer when they bring in the Beyoncés, the Gagas, the Katy Perrys. You know, even last year with Dr. Dre, they shut it down. So I prefer a more good, just kind of bring me some entertainment in the halftime. And Rihanna did that. So I'm not mad.
I was about to say, because the background, she had 100 background dancers and had 8-10 in the air.
Like you were saying, the artistic vision with the lighting, and it was cinematic.
I love that for her. And you know, her Spotify streams, her like streaming music. I went and downloaded everything because I had some Rihanna. But after that performance, I sure did download everything. I sure do have her lip gloss with the football in my Sephora checkout cart.
You already know Rihanna and Beyonce. You can remember that playlist I was playing on the wedding day. I remember Paul was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "It's me." My go-to, I have already a pre-made playlist. I call it my R&B jams. And it has like more upbeat R&B songs, but it is primarily Beyonce and Rihanna. Just straight Beyonce and Rihanna. Because yes. They just get me in my groove. Rihanna's always kind of got me in my groove. I've always admitted that I wasn't an early fan of Rihanna. She had to grow on me slowly because I just wasn't into the early Rihanna, like that.
Candy V plan?
I was not into that. The carnival cruise, kids cruise, club music. It was just not me. I didn't really start to like Rihanna until it was the talk that talk to me. That's when she kind of started to bring me the flavor. And I was like, okay,
Rihanna. If it's loving that you want, you should make me a girl.
From there, if you go through my playlist, you're going to hear Rihanna because I bangs with Rihanna. I would love some new music. But at the same time, I'm the same age as Rihanna. Like, girl, life is life right now. Like, you did the work. So focus
and don't rush art. I feel like when she does come out with something, I really feel like it's going to be her best work.
Right.
But I'm just like, we don't, as we are all the same age as her, we know that we are in our age that we are, which we're around her age, same age. Okay. Mind your business. But I just feel like life be life. And it's like, you have to do what's best for you. Cause everybody's like, we want an album. She got another baby. This girl, first of all, ASAP love his girlfriend. And we love how much he loves her. But second of all, let her live her life. Like life goals are more than like touring and giving you guys everything. And I feel like she's going to come when she drops this baby number two. But I'm personally happy for them.
Everybody is not Beyonce. And in a lot of ways, I admire Beyonce. She is the best performer, like hands down. But nobody, like her work ethic, she was trained. We all know Beyonce's life story. Like her father was very, like Beyonce's been in a girl group since she was a little girl. Beyonce's been studying to be a performer since she was a little girl. So Beyonce was bred to be Beyonce. Rihanna, I just saw her childhood home. I just visited when I went to Barbados. Rihanna had a bit more wholesome upbringing. I did find out that Rihanna was a part of a girl group. And they were pitching that girl group and they ended up kind of just going with Rihanna. And then she became this superstar.
And she grew up in the island. She didn't have as much access to stuff.
Right. And the energy, even in Barbados, they are not like, it's so beautiful over there. They're not stressing. They're not like, I have to work all the time. I have to do, like, no, they are chilling. And Rihanna is very much Bajan. Like, she is very much a representation of her country, especially even with just the sass and sarcasm. Because let me tell you, they have, I started to notice it more because today, you know, our friend Julin. Julin
is shout always, out to Juju.
She's so funny. Julin has a very sarcastic sense of humor where at times you could probably take offense to it if the joke goes over your head. That was so many of the people I was hanging out with in Barbados. And like the one girl we was with, shout out to Tanisha. She has that same sense of humor. And she's like, yes, girl, don't take offense to it. I'm very much joking, very much joking. But it's like, you can kind of just take it a shade. Like, hold up now, what you said? But it's just like, they are very sarcastic. They are quick with their clapbacks. And that is Rihanna to a T. So leave Rihanna the hell alone. Leave her.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Because I agree with Charlamagne and what he said was basically like, we have had two black ass Super Bowls these past 2 years. We had the whole LA Snoop Compton stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we had, of course, Rihanna this year. Now, even though he said it's Taylor Swift, like I said, I think they're going to white us out next year. The Usher debate. Do you think Usher has enough hits to be on the next Super Bowl?
Usher has more than enough hits. I think what it is with Usher and why in recent years we're seeing him kind of like get overlooked, not in the black community, but just in overall community. Like why has Justin Timberlake performed the halftime, but not Usher? It's because Usher hasn't been consistent with his hits. So Usher has hits, but it's not like every time when Usher comes out, he has a hit single that is on the top of the charts. And so from there, it's like his last albums, you know, probably hasn't even really produced a major hit. So then that's kind of how it's like it gets overlooked versus if his last album had a major hit, all it would do is just remind people like, oh, Usher has been the greatest since the 90s. Like, why, you know, Usher is it. So I think that's all he's just been missing in recent years. But, you know, I love Usher and I do believe Usher has more than enough hits to perform at a halftime and shut it down. But at the same time, the Super Bowl is a representation of like mainstream pop culture, and mainstream pop culture, Usher still does get overlooked.
I think Usher would be perfect to headline his own thing. I think he's kind of like a Rihanna to where his 13 to 15 minutes of hits, he don't need one on the last album. He could just do Yeah, Oh My God, Hey Daddy, Good Kisser. He could bring out Pitbull. He could do his song with, I just think Usher, and Usher's a performer. Yes. I think Usher would absolutely kill it and murder it, but I do agree that the NFL is probably like, all right, we gave y'all black people 2 years in a row.
Yeah, it's been real black up in here.
Next year, y'all gonna get a Carrie Underwood.
Right, right. And yeah, but, and we'll see where those ratings go. But yeah, of course, we got to be inclusive. Everybody got to get their shine. But we do see which halftimes produce the most viewers.
And who would you want to do next year?
It is the people with, because after Rihanna, it's Katy Perry as the second most watched halftime, and then Lady Gaga. I can't believe they're ahead of Beyonce, but they are.
That's crazy.
These are the, like, people want to see people perform. They want hits and they want to see performances. I get that Maroon 5 and, I don't know, Metallica or Green Day. I don't, you know.
Bruno Mars was great. Bruno Mars, he was amazing.
Bruno Mars is a performer. Like,
Bruno Mars is amazing.
I think there should be kind of a certain scale, because it's a damn football game. People got energy. We're drinking. We're eating pizza and wings. Like, we want to see a performance. So I understand that they have to be inclusive of all kind of music genres, but I do think that there are particular types of artists that fit best in these spaces. And I think that's what should be focused on moving forward. Taylor Swift fits, you know, because she has
hit. No, but she won't let Make Me Dance. So this is what I'm thinking about.
She has some song. You're not going to tell me Shake It Off. That is my song.
That's the only one. I'm thinking of how can she have a back. I'm thinking of like, who right now is like a pop artist.
She's definitely going to need guests.
Harry Styles. I love Harry Styles.
I don't know. I'm still mad that, I'm sorry with this. Sorry. I hate with the mediocrity sweeping the Grammys. Harry Styles, I like that one song. I do not know any other Harry Styles song other than As It Was, which I love that song. And I do not know any other song as to why this man won Best Album. What is the album? I don't know the album. I only know the song. Wasn't that great. You could barely perform.
I don't think he should have won over Beyonce, but I do like the album. I agree. I don't think he should have won over Beyonce.
I haven't heard the album. Haven't heard, like, the way, you know, everybody was talking about Beyonce's album, how it was a no-skip album, how even
Beyonce really was
anti, everybody was talking about how it was a good album. Like, I heard about the album, not the single. I did not hear about nothing about Harry Styles' album, and I just don't get it. And then finding out that one of the voters said that they just purposely didn't vote for Beyonce and Adele because they've already won. It's like, so people are going in there.
But no, she never won Album of the Year. That's the problem. She never won Album of the Year.
Yes, I know. But at the same time, these people think that Beyonce's won too much, so she doesn't deserve Album of the Year. That's and they dumb. Keep snubbing her. It's really, if I was Beyonce, I would not go to the Grammys again. I would That's not go to the Grammys. It's very racist because I see it on TikTok all day. There is a very large percentage of white people that feel about Beyonce the way we feel about Taylor Swift. They think that Beyonce is overrated. They don't think that she's talented. We feel the same way about Taylor Swift. And so it's this big kind of divide. But at the same time, it's more of these white people in this Grammys Academy space. And so they continue to show Beyonce, like, we think you're overrated and you are not worth an Album of the Year, despite you having the album that everybody talked about in the last year. And we choosing to nominate you so you could show up and give us the ratings. But yeah, we're not going to let you win. If I was her, I would not go again. But anyways, we got off on a tangent about the Grammys.
The moral of the story is Rihanna did her damn thing.
Did her thing. So let's get into our piss poor performance. I only have one, but it's a little bit. Who do you have for your piss poor performance? I'll let you go first.
anybody who's hating on Rihanna.
Oh my Lord. Okay. We are
specifically Donald Trump and Howard Stern. I don't care if she lip sync. I don't care what she did what you couldn't do. You can't have 2 feet. And this woman was pregnant. I need people to understand the gift of life that women are. Any woman that can
bear Donald Trump and Howard Stern sitting there jabbing their mouth about a woman. They are both misogynist pieces of crap. If we really want to go down the Britannica of the things that Howard Stern has said and done, as well as Donald Trump, we can have a whole show about that, but we won't. But the fact that they want to sit there, and it's like, Donald Trump, you're on your little fake ass Twitter, yapping off at your mouth. Shut up. If you want to be
more and dumbass Bethany Frankel too, because she just don't like
Black I can't stand Bethany Frankel's mediocre ass. Omarosa told her that she was white mediocrity years ago, and all she does is continue to do it. And recently, what she's been doing in recent, like the last year, to get traction around herself is bashing other women, whether it's Rihanna, whether it's the Kardashians. She is bashing other women to bring herself views on TikTok. You are so desperate, you are so tired, and you are so wrinkly, and we have been tired of your little mouth with your thin ass lips. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. And the same goes for Howard Stern and that nose, and Donald Trump and that goddamn toupee. Shut your little burnt orange ass up. I'm so happy that I haven't had to hear from you in the recent years. I do not look forward to the possibility of him becoming president again, but I do hope if he does become president again, you have a lot more quality stuff to talk about than Rihanna. You are a politician, now turned into a politician from being a failed businessman and reality star. You became the president because we all know a good portion of the country is not that smart and they voted for your dumb ass. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, focus on what politicians focus on. They're not talking about Rihanna. Shut your little crazy ass up. Anyway,
I just don't want anybody who cannot do what she did to talk about what she did. So that's my
And that would be those two, Howard Stern and Donald Trump. Shut up.
Period. Now who's yours?
For. I had to drag their ass real quick because I don't like, you're not going to sit there and just sit there and keep talking about women. And that's all Howard Stern and Donald. Shut their asses up. Anyways, on to my piss poor performance. It is the Gorgas on the Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's a new season of the Housewives of New Jersey. We are up to season 13, yet we are still seeing the season 3 storyline of Teresa not being able to get along with her brother and sister-in-law. It is stale. It is tired. We are sick of it. However, the Gorgas don't got nothing else to talk about. And that is all you are seeing throughout the show. Granted, I am a Teresa fan. I think that Teresa is the greatest OG housewife of all time. Nobody has brought what she has brought to her show. Like, she brought it. She put it all out there. Everything from having babies to getting divorced, going to prison, you know, the court system, all of that. And finding love again. The Gorgas, they came on the show with their central storyline being their feud at that time was with Teresa and Joe Giudice. And then we saw that go play out through the seasons. And then in wake of Joe Giudice getting deported to Italy, you know, and then even just after the prison, Teresa going to prison and then them losing their parents, there was a period of just kind of camaraderie between Teresa, Joe Gorga and Melissa Gorga. But now Louis done come into the picture. The parents have been gone for some time. So it's like the dust is settling and that stuff you try to sweep under the rug, it's just coming out. Because granted, there was never, Teresa and Melissa don't really like each other. That's clear as day. The family never really liked Melissa. And Joe is such, I mean, Teresa did call him a bitch at the season 12 reunion and that's why he stormed out. But I'm sorry, Joe. It's like you really are on national television, reality television, talking crap about your sister is so disgusting. Then to even the things that Joe and Melissa were saying about Teresa on their podcast, like saying like, we took care of her children when she was in prison. Like just stuff like, why would you say this stuff? Where, you know, this is all just showing a lot about their character. And now it's coming out more that like even Jacqueline Larita, who she and Teresa just recently mended fences after their messy fallout. Jackie admitted the Gorgas were the one that was telling her stuff that Teresa said about behind her back. They were the one orchestrating their fallout as friends. So it's kind of in a lot of ways you're seeing like Teresa's own brother had it out against her. Now, I am not the Teresa stand to where I cannot acknowledge that Teresa be wrong and strong as hell. Teresa has done her fair share against Melissa. But the one thing you notice, like Teresa does not sit there and even sound like she enjoys bad mouthing her brother. She might make little snide statements about Melissa, kind of bandwagoning off of her. Melissa wanted to be on the show. Melissa. But you do not see Teresa bashing her brother. You just go through the seasons and tell me where. Tell me where. She called him a bitch at the last reunion, but that was like the first time. Just tell me where you see Teresa talking about her brother, because it's just not the thing. But when you see him giving that energy to his only sister, mind you, remember, it's just the two of them, and now their parents are gone. So then what you're seeing with Melissa this season, she is so rehearsed. From the faces that she makes to her mannerisms, it's just like, it's giving, I'm looking for a moment to show off my Botox and fillers. Very much so. Then they had Louis Vuitton boxes as decorations in their bedroom, which was so tacky to me. Like, so, like they literally, you could tell they had the Louis Vuitton boxes displayed, like set up as their, it was like,
look
really,
at the money I have.
Like, oh my gosh. So basic. And then what we're seeing for the sneak peek for next week is Joe gets into it with Louis. And then even in this recent episode, Joe is like saying how he used to have issues with Joe Giudice, and now he got issues with Louis. And he's like making it seem as though the issue is Teresa's husband. No, the issue is you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you
think the only common denominator.
The common denominator is you. Exactly. And so we see him again. It's about to be in this next episode where all Louis does is call him out for talking about Teresa on his podcast, saying like, we took care of your daughters while you were in prison. And you see Joe go crazy, start banging on tables like we have seen Joe do since season 3. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of his little Napoleon syndrome. I'm tired of his over-aggressiveness just being bypassed because he's okay with letting men slap his ass or occasionally on the show. But it's like, no, bro, you're aggressive. So I'm kind of here for either the Gorgas slowly making their exit from the show, because at the end of the day, Teresa is the show and she still has a lot more show in her. I do not think Teresa needs to leave. She is the OG. She has so much going on with her life. She just got married. She still has her 4 daughters who are now, they're getting older, which that can kind of turn into things. And she's still just a great common denominator as it relates to the cast. Melissa was just able to kind of ride off of Teresa's coattails, and that's what's helped her have longevity on the show. So now she has these relationships with people on the show, but Melissa could just be a friend, girl. You do not have a full-time storyline. Your full-time storyline is talking about Teresa. So it's like she could kind of, I could see the Gorgas getting transitioned as a friend. And let's just bring in some new faces, because these two women that they brought in as friends are new housewives this season. I actually really like them. And I see the kind of show coming back to itself. So I'm here for that. But yeah, my piss poor performance goes to the Gorgas.
And I just am ashamed of Joe. Like, when it's only your 2 siblings, like, everything shouldn't be for television. And people will sometimes sell their soul for a quick buck or quote unquote frame. So yeah, we could just piss all over the Gorgas.
So now let's get into our yes segment. So who are you rooting for this week?
I am rooting for the Kelce brothers.
Okay.
They play Super Bowl. They didn't care about the game, but I've been obsessed with them. And they have actually their own podcast because they were on competing teams. Travis Kelce was on the Kansas City Chiefs that won. His older brother, Jason Kelce, was on the Philadelphia Eagles. They are the first brothers to play. And I've just been obsessed with like their interviews and their commentary. They really love each other. It was so like bittersweet to see the mom be happy for the youngest, but then help the older cry. And I just think they're like 2 wholesome guys. The older brother's like married, 2 kids, 1 on the way. The younger brother, that's the one who has the jungle fever. He's fly as hell. Like, they
people
just seem
Mark
like,
looks like him.
Yes, I could see it. Mark Kelce. but I just think that they're just good-hearted people. I think this past couple of weeks, like, lead it into the Super Bowl. I just love how they cried over like their mom being famous, because their mom was doing a lot of interviews about her having 2 sons in the NFL. And yes. I'm rooting for them. And I'm loving how, you know, the older brother was like, I'm crying because I'm happy for my little brother, but I don't want people to take away my, like, his shine. So as soon as he won, the younger brother was like, I love you. This is the best year of my life. He was like, go celebrate with your team, bro. Go celebrate with your team.
They're so cute. Yeah.
So cute. So if you can, just watch some of their interviews. They're really cute. What about you?
Well, I am rooting for the Real Housewives of Miami. They have become the new standard for Real Housewives. When you talk about the storylines, the drama, the fashion, the quality of just the production of the show, the vacations, the glam. Miami has it all. And now they are being redeemed. You know, they are in their reboot era. They're in the second season of their reboot. So it's only season 5. And it's amazing. Each episode is very entertaining. The storylines are not forced. Whereas, you know, you could get the forced storylines on Beverly Hills, right? Like Beverly Hills, you see they're reaching for straws. Even on Potomac, where it's like, oh, we're going to pick on Chris this season. Like they're kind of just like making stuff up to, this is our storyline for the season. On Miami, it's so much just naturally going on in their lives. And then they're just dynamic and all being alpha women. And some people taking offense to certain things, certain say they don't have to force anything because there's always going to be some conflict. I just love it. Again, we just saw the vacations on Potomac. They just look so dry, so basic. You honestly probably forgot they were on vacation. But let me tell you, in Miami, they went to Key West. And I think they are, where are they? In the Bahamas. It's just fly. They just are, the fashion, all of these ladies are coming in with just gorgeous outfits week after, like scene after scene. The hair is done. The skins is tight. The lips are pumped. Like they look good on camera. They look presentable. You know, people were talking about, oh, Charisse wasn't even a good friend on Potomac. She just looks tired. You got Kiki, who's a friend, and Adriana, who's a friend on Miami. And they always look, are dressed to impress, always ready for camera ready. And again, like these conversations that they're having when they are really throwing these shade and drama at each other, it is real. It's authentic. They're mostly primarily women of color. Like most of them are Latina, or we have two Haitians. Gertie and Kiki are both Haitian. And then you have Julia, who is Russian. It's just so good. I am rooting for Miami. I know they are now the new standard. I guess they're probably going to keep them on Peacock because they're trying to make Peacock a thing. But Miami,
I was going
to
say that. I think they're going to keep them on Peacock because they're helping the ratings.
I know. But I really wish they were on Bravo and that Salt Lake City would get booted. But then Salt Lake City would just get canceled because that shit has gotten so dry.
Did you hear that Mary Cosby might come back?
Oh, I'm here for it. Yeah, I think she's coming back as a friend. And I think that's better for her. She won't have to care as much. But I never wanted Mary to leave. I know she's racist towards us, her own people. But Mary is so kooky. I never wanted her to leave. I'm here for her being on the show, and they need her because at this point now you got all the Desperate Housewives left. So it's just going to start getting just more corny and basic like we saw in season 3. So they got to do something because the fate of Salt Lake City right now looks like it's just going to phase out. But yeah. And my other yes, it goes to Selena S. Titties. She has grown on me. She has grown on me. First of all, the word S. Titties is grown on me. But Selena, from episode 1, she told us what her aesthetic is as a drag queen. It is that she, you know, she comes from like the hood and she don't really have a lot of money. And she uses what she can to create her looks. And that's what she looks like week after week. This last one with the puffer and she had the hot Cheetos. And then she said, is there one underneath? Yes.
I was so annoyed. Like,
oh my
gosh,
I was cracking up. And I'm like, honestly, even just in general, when things are going on between the girls, like when it was Mistress versus Baby Girl Fox, Malaysia.
Malaysia Baby Doll Fox. You be messing with these people.
Even Selena's commentary is just funny. So I'm actually kind of rooted for her. I do not see her winning. But her runway look, she's still kind of delivering. She's delivering better than Marsha. So I'm rooting for her to as make it as far as she's going to make it in this competition. Because there is something about Selena S. Titties. She got that uniqueness, nerve, and talent. It's just the fashions that are just, you know, struggling. But we know why. She's been real about that. So yes, rooting for her.
We're rooting for all drag queens, but she is rooting for S. Titas.
S. Titties. Yes. So now let's get into our positivity before we close it on out. So what you got for us, bestie?
No matter what happens, hold on tight. That's it. Just hold on tight, y'all. Hold on tight. No matter what happens.
All right. Yes. I thought there was something else.
It. Just no matter what happens, hold on tight.
Hold on tight. Okay, that's right. Throughout the night. My quote is also very short as well. Keep going because you did not come this far just to come this far.
I just can't give up now. That's a church song, y'all.
Okay, I didn't know we was going to start busting out his song. Okay, but on that note, y'all, we're going to leave out with our slogan.
Love, abundance, and bundles, because it's on a post-it now.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Have a good one.